All right, well, good morning, everyone. I've got 901. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we would ask that you put it on silence at this time. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today, humbled in your sight and asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we're so thankful for the many blessings that you continue to bestow upon us and allowing us to survive and endure the harsh weathers that we've recently had. But we do that with the knowledge that it's all in your plan. And Lord, we ask for your continued blessings of rain and moistures for our grounds here in Coryell County and Central Texas area so that our farmers and ranchers may prosper as you would see fit. And Lord, as always, we ask that you watch over and guide and protect the first responders here on earth as you watch over us from heaven. And most especially, Lord, we want to come before you today asking for your hand of wisdom and guidance and direction on this court so we may do here on heaven, here on earth, what pleases you and honors you in heaven. And we ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
And the pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one nation, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Yes, sir. If you'll please stand and state your name.
Bobby Jones. I've got, could you pass those out? Purpose of me being here is I wanted to bring some awareness to the court in Coryell County regarding animal rights. Peter Senior, who is the foundation and the cornerstone of that movement that started back in 1975, Peter Senior wrote a book, Animal Liberation. You can go on, you can go Google it up and see some of the twisted stuff that's on there and quotes that he's made. Princeton University hired him, and when they did, he was so radical that Steve Forbes, which at that time was a Fortune 500 company, he pulled all his endowments. And there were two quotes that Peter Senior made. One was, if there was a mentally handicapped child drowning in a dog, which would you save? And he said, naturally, a dog. The most damaging quote that he made was, in order for the animal rights agenda to succeed, the Judeo-Christian tradition had to be destroyed. And I think we can all look around across the United States today and see where that has come to. The second purpose that I'm here is, this is the proposed legislation. The United States Human Defense League, they were formed back in 2008. It's a voluntary group, and what they do is they help people that have been harmed by the government or illegal seizures of animals or whatever. Steve Perry is the president, and he told me a couple of months ago that last year, well, basically being 24, they received one or two calls a month. People in need for legal help. And he said now it's one or two a week. And their department has put this Texas Property Owner Protection Act together. And what I'm asking the court to pass a resolution, I'm not asking for this today. This is a short form. There's some more stuff going to be added to it, but I'd like to have some more time on the agenda in the next coming meeting to I'll have some court cases documented that they have handled. One in particular that I went to a court proceeding in Dallas, Texas about 2 months ago. They had went in on this man and took all of his animals, had a few sheep, chickens, dogs, and it all started over a neighbor complaining about his operation. And of course, they got these drones, and they come in, fly these drones over his place. They get a warrant. Court's got a warrant to do that, but the water for the dogs and some of the chickens, wasn't full, and under the health and safety code of the state of Texas, I mean, you have to have your water bowls clean, and you have to have it clean, or you can be prosecuted. And this legislation will prohibit third-party interference with private property and to protect property owners from unlawful seizure. And one thing I did want to bring to your attention, and Mr. Perry had said in all the cases that he had been involved in, due process had just been completely ignored by law enforcement. Article 1, Section 19, guaranteeing due course of law before deprivation of life, liberty, or property, the Texas Supreme Court has held that due process requires affording a person notice and a meaningful opportunity to be heard before depriving them of protected property, a protected property interest. And there's numerous case law set out under that section. And procedural due process safeguards apply to administrative and quasi-judicial proceedings that impact property rights. So I'll answer any questions now you might have. But again, repeating myself, I'm asking the court to pass a resolution to support this legislation. And I'm going to be going across the state of Texas before the session convenes in 27 to try to get this done on a grassroots level. Any questions? I don't have any.
Mr. Jones, has this been presented to any of our state senators or state representatives at this point?
Not yet. Like I said, this is just a rough draft. There's an attorney involved that's going to clean it up a little bit, but that's the whole purpose of it, is to take it to and get it introduced.
Okay. Within and I'm seeing it's authored by the United States Human Defense League. Is there any particular state representative or state senator that y'all believe is going to support this, that you're going to ask to?
We've got several representatives across Texas and senators also that are going to be taking a look at it, and it will be introduced
Okay.
at the appropriate time. I think in November is when they start introducing legislation for the 27th session.
Yes.
That answer your
It
question?
absolutely does.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the time.
All right, thanks. Thanks.
Is there anyone else here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that is participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are six items listed there. The court may take action to approve the consent agenda as listed, or you may choose to select any or all of those to be discussed and considered individually.
I make a motion to accept consent agenda A, B, C, D, E, and F.
Second.
We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham and a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number five? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number six is the Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
My first report, Judge, by our January report for the next meeting. It's kind of being odd being in February because of the event, so and doing normal maintenance.
I do want to tell you thank you for the people you had on standby during our little Ice Ice Baby 26 is what I'm referring it to, no, appreciate their time and efforts to be out there and to be available and the things that they did do to improve our road conditions.
Yeah, there was we didn't do a lot. There was a few spots. We just targeted steep hills, Cedar Ridge, Pine Branches, Rolling Hills. We had to go out and play the ice off, chatting them. It's kind of odd event. Sometimes you get up and down the hill, and after fall, just a little of sun come out and then freeze back, and it'd be like the skate rinks.
Yeah.
But no, we actually did do some pre-treating, but the rain, didn't help.
Yeah.
I mean, our arm did actually, but we did build our chemical truck. We built a brine bar on the back of it, so we can spray brine now, hardening some bridges and stuff. But again, the rain didn't do us no good. Found a source to buy brine, get it in Cleveland.
Thank you.
We'll be a little better prepared for the next one.
You did a good job.
Thank you. Yep. Well, you really did. Thank you. Anything else under item number six? Hearing none, item number seven, discussion and consideration of transition of IT services. I believe most of our IT functions have been transitioned over to Goldsmith Solutions at this time. They are, in fact, operating help desk operations, but I do believe that they've discovered a few outliers out there that they're going to have to continue to work through to get some passwords and access, some things that at least I was not aware of that were being managed by another vendor. So it is progressing. They are addressing immediate needs as targets of opportunity. Right off the bat, little break fix things. There have been some downtimes with the internet services, a few issues with some computer logins, but they've had people actively available throughout the week, and they're going to continue that for the next several days to address those as quickly as they're identified. Anything that?
Yes, sir. Okay, I sent everybody, I sent you the email that I sent Brandon about this interlocal agreement, and he said it would be appropriate if you discuss it under this. And so it's an interlocal agreement between Coryell County and Angelo State Regional Security Operations Center. We are in the actual UT RSOC, but when Goldsmith engaged with them, they were coming across some issues and problems with them, so they requested from the state to be moved, us moved to San Angelo State, which I'm actually happy about anyway. It would just give Goldsmith the ability to engage with that RSOC and get us signed up for their security plan under CrowdStrike. Any
questions or?
Then I make a motion that we enter into an interlocal cooperative contract between San Angelo State University and Coryell County relating to the use of the San Angelo State Regional Security Operations Center RSOC services.
Second. Got a motion to approve the interlocal agreement from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion concerning the interlocal agreement with San Angelo University? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Anything else to discuss or consider concerning the IT services? Okay, very good. We'll move on to item number eight, which is a presentation of the biannual report from the Quail County Sexual Assault Response Team. Scott Stevens, Lieutenant Schaefer, Mary Salmond.
I sent out the annual report. You guys, I don't know if you can tell, I'm Mary Salmond. So we've gotten off to a really good start. I put in there the dates that we met as a board. We have signed the protocols as of last month. So those are in the biennial report. We've also had a really successful training that Copper's Cove hosted for law enforcement, 3 hours. We have our TPOL credit for free, even invited in some of Bell County and other agencies, and got really good feedback from that. I stay in close communication and contact with Braille Memorial, the ER staff there. Went there last month as well to do some targeted training on some deficits that they were recognizing in the care of sexual assault patients. And then also met with, went to the Righteous Roots that they host the C4 meeting. And we're gonna start a meeting after the meeting focused on victim services specifically, because we have the case review that's really for law enforcement, prosecution, medical, to really staff those cases. But the victim services piece is really where the community can support. And so we're gonna start that after that meeting, since it's already scheduled and on the book. So that'll get started as well. And even in looking at the data, so we keep a very extensive database of patients at the hospital that we see, pulling up the sexual assault patients just in Quail County. We recognized they're getting reports, but they're not making it to the hospital. They're not getting the exams. So we're diving into that, finding the whys, and helping try to bridge those gaps in the next coming month. And other than that, do you guys have questions or comments? But I'm happy to put Quail County Sheriff's Office is here to support. It's a labor of love, but the communication and collaboration is really what helps support this community. The only thing left for you to do is submit that to the governor's task force.
I think we can do that. I absolutely think we can do that.
And if you guys feedback or questions, please.
Mary, thank you so much for your time and your efforts in what you do. We were a little bit behind in getting this up and going, but we appreciate your efforts and your involvement.
It's taken the communication and the support from all the agencies, so the DA's office and the sheriff and all the law enforcement agencies, and so it's fantastic.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item number 9, which is an update and actions on grants to include, but not limited to. I don't have any updates for the hazard mitigation plan, nor the RCP. I've not lost sight of trying to get the workshop scheduled. I've just had some calendar conflicts, but we will get that on the calendar, get that scheduled. Yes. CDBG MIT. We're moving along with the project development on that. We were supposed to have a meeting for January, and the little ice event got us on that. But we have received some invoices and some submissions. Mr. Wood, I need your signature on a piece of paperwork this afternoon or after the meeting for reimbursement purposes. But we are moving along with those four projects. Is there?
They have a meeting with yesterday. They had for that, and the packet that we handed out there, there's some issues that can be discussed.
Yeah, they basically all the projects are going over budget, and they're only about 30% in on their assessment of the engineering. After they've done some hydrology studies. You know, when they first met with us, it's just kind of a guess how much, because they don't allow you to do the hydrology study, so you can get into it deeper. So these hydrology studies have revealed a bigger issue than what they expected, and so that's one reason why it's going going over the budget. Ball Knob, they, you know, it's other than it's going over the budget, they don't really see an issue with getting it done, I think. But 274, the low water crossing on 274, if you look on that page, it's got the like the 2 year event. After they elevated and put in bigger culverts, it's still going to overflow that on by 8 feet, which they obviously can't put their stamp on. To move it up to a 5 year event, put in a bridge for a 5 year event, it would it costs roughly $7.5 million, and then to bump it on up to a 10 year event, it costs even $10.5 million. So we need to figure out what we're going to do about that.
Some of the problem with that too is that we want to move the FEMA. You know, it obviously seems like they're just talking about just taking it off because there's no way we're still sitting there with the jump low water crossing. It's every time it rains, we just go put road base back up against it. We're going to reach out to FEMA and see about putting that back on there. I don't know if we will since we have moved it, but we had to remove it because we decided we had another avenue for components. But that's that one. I mean, that's just to get to a 5 year. I don't even know whether they even sample 5 year. Did they mention that?
I didn't ask them that specifically, but they did. They did get quote me a price on 5 years, so I'm assuming that they probably would.
Yeah.
But and I say quote me a price. I mean, that's just a
incentive.
Yeah, just a big guess, basically.
But all projects, I think, page
on, yeah, on the back page, like the page Shady Lane to Grand Central, that's city, the Corps Reed giving them 500,000 out of this grant, of course, 399, just basically 400,000, can be used towards project. The rest of it goes towards the engineering and everything else. So, but at the current, at the what they're figuring currently, it's going to cost like $710,000. So that's the kind of the breakdown of their numbers there. Of course, they didn't do nothing for Ball Knob because, or not, I mean, 274, because obviously that's going to be way outside the budget. But they, I got them scheduled where they're willing and planning on coming in on the 24th of February Commissioner's Court meeting to explain this better than I can. But that's what they're hoping to do, is come in here and explain this and give you better inform you than what I do. So that we can then later make a decision on how to proceed, because they don't want to spend a lot of time and money into something that that we ultimately ain't gonna be able to do.
Yeah, Cove and Gatesville projects are overrunning as well. I think it's a percentage based on the grant. So I think it would be. I didn't double check it. So did they say that necessarily don't have to have 10 projects? Like you could just move to 74 and use the surplus funds on Ball Knob? Is that?
Yeah, that's what I had. That's what it looks like. We're going to be able to do one.
Yes. Yeah, that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, coming down to it.
The problem is 274 is one that needs to be fixed. This one is coming in the highest.
Yeah.
It's not going to survive the time for the. I mean, it's just, like I said, we're just putting road base up to it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it rains, tops over, it washes out. We're having to put road base back on it. Ball Knob is really not as crucial. I mean, there's some issues there, but it's still a passable functioning bridge. But Ball Knob's in the LMI and 74 is not.
Right.
Some of the reason they don't want to stamp it, if I understood right, was the narrative for that one was with the school bus route and it being a used road.
Well, yeah, I mean, they just can't stamp it.
Now, yeah, they can't stamp it. They could.
I mean, right. it's too big of a liability.
Yeah, so those graphs there, if you look at it, it shows how much it overtops. And being the orange, you know, different shade, the green and the maroon there.
Ball Knob one that still could potentially overtop what they're proposing, but it's my understanding that they need that. I'll be honest with you, I ain't never seen it over that bridge there. And plus, you're talking to me.
I've never seen it here over.
If it does, it goes over flowing down there. You know, the road flows out.
Yeah, but we've seen 274 a few times. Actually, it's not even a gigantic rain event. It,
right.
It's not a lot of water in it.
Yeah,
I know, Justin, your fear, my fear, when we've met down there, is that thing's just going to get, one of these times, it's just going to get completely blown out or damaged where we can't even.
Well, what it's at right now, it's just a hunk of concrete out there, and we just build base back up to it.
Right.
Now,
how it expands 274.
Well, it's just a little more across.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, if I can, when we go to the bridge, you can put it
in the. Well, that's what they're saying here. Look, they're designing textile style bridges at that 7-10 million that they're saying won't hold up. That their preliminary design for 2 year. I don't know what's that. 140 foot of culvert bottom there, probably.
I mean, what was that, 60 or 70 foot arches?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right. I can't remember.
You know, and even that was still overflowing 8 feet at a 2 year event. You know, and then that was.
If they came to the end, they.
Engineers, they can design something for it to overflow like that, then these grant parameters and stamp it.
Yeah. It was 30 foot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only handling 24% of the 2 year peak. Now, if they were to move forward and do some of these, because we'll take, for example, Cove allocated and set aside some money for their project, and they had already kind of started engineering.
Yeah, they said that they hadn't heard anything on the CBG myth, and they proceeded with hiring some of their engineers to kind of design something. But when Walker went and talked with them, they have since then put that on hold with the fee with some foul with the grants. But their project's going to be. Their project's over budget by quite a bit, too.
Yeah, but if they've allocated $500,000
for it. Yeah, but they did mention of course, I don't know what they're thinking, but they did mention to the walkers that they would prefer to do that $500,000 on other projects. But, you know, wouldn't we all?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now they're in Gatesville. Shea Lane is in Gatesville?
Yeah, Shea Lane is Gatesville. Yeah.
And about 300. 11,000 over 310,000. Now, they had mentioned talking about doing some of that in kind. The city moves their own water line and sewer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe offset some of that.
But that's some conversations that we're going to have with the city and the engineers to see how they want to proceed.
So as the engineers met, they've been meeting on their own, but city.
They met with Coxco. I don't think they've been able to get in touch with the city of Gatesville due to the changeover and whatnot. But, a lot of water comes down Corio Creek.
It doesn't have many places to absorb it in the ground out there.
Right.
Reality is, it seems like we're probably going to cut that project off, do something in-house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that's the case, see if we can put back. I doubt that's going to happen. Unless you remove that, that's going to be hard to put back in there.
Yeah.
But we're going to reach out to FEMA to layer it more and see. If that's the case, I mean, we're looking at trying to do a project in-house here that we have no allocations for funding that has to get done.
I mean, it goes back a while. I think it was just when I got on the court, you know, TxDOT did that. That other bridge, you know, just up from there. What a
TxDOT will not do that because they don't define that as a bridge. Has to be a defined
bridge. Looks like we can build a little wood one across there, call it a bridge.
Put your name on it. You'd be happy with that.
Yeah, oh man. Mm-hmm.
How much people would talk to go?
192. I don't know what the grant stipulations are. Is the engineer paid on the percentage? I don't think it's paid on the 3-point-something million. I think it's construction. So,
yeah, I'm not sure on that. I'd have
to. I just don't know. That part of it, but you know, if you look down there, of course, they have a typo on the last page there. They didn't run their columns out, they didn't need to because some of that's in there. But you know, construction, they're showing it 2.696. Well, you go over here, like, all right, put new numbers in there, and then engineering and percentage, it's 15%. Well, if, you know, the total project is $5 million over budget, but you know, there's another. 750,000 in engineering that would be added in there. So
the engineering fees are capped with the grant. I mean, regardless of what the projected costs are, what the grant pays is a percentage of that.
I didn't know that. That's what I was trying to figure. So then there's 404 is.
That's all we have.
Okay. Now, is that based on if you utilize all the grant funds or if you cut a project off and we're under 3.5?
Well, that's one I've got to reach out to the GLO on because all of this, the entire grant, is predicated on those four projects that had those four cost estimates. So the answer of dropping a project and modifying three others or two others or one other, the answer to that question is I don't know. I don't know what that looks like.
Like the engineers available.
Yeah, Judy was there from Langford, and she was saying that the GLO will be more out of dropping a grant out of dropping a project off.
But still, they're paying the same dollar amount.
Yes, I believe so. I mean, I didn't ask that specifically, but I think that she was alluding to we could move that money over to
another
project.
yeah, the the 3.4 of the entire grant is a predetermined amount. They're not going to reduce that unless, other than we just don't spend it all. They're not going to cut that from us.
Yeah, and the cap for engineering costs has been established at 15% of the total estimated construction cost.
February 24th.
Yes.
Unless we're willing to prop up 7-8 million.
Yeah.
We can start making plans then to work on it.
That should get it back in the payment.
But we're going to try, but I don't see.
Unless they tell you no.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're starting to wrap everything up with FEMA. We have 13 PWs left, three projects. We're fixing to start finishing those. They push the other tier 60 or 100, whatever they live through. We did receive letters yesterday. The last two PWs were moved from FEMA to the state. I'll send you those letters, Judge. Which you might already see them from TDM, but they show that they moved.
So based off the sheet that they gave us, if we just completely dropped County Road 274, we can do Shady Lane, Bald Knob, and Avenue B within the budgeted amount or the allocated amount for the grant overall.
Well, I think they have typos in that.
Yeah, they were going to, when they come to the commissioner's court meeting, they're going to have it broke down a little better there. Because it was kind of confusing us yesterday.
Well, I'm using their current cost projections. If you took the 710,800, the 1,027,800, and the 884,100, that gives you 2,622,700.
Yeah, but then you have to add in the 404 for the engineering, environmental, and the grant administration.
Yes.
So. Yeah, 3.296. And it was 3.4.
Yeah.
Yeah, if CDB, the GLO will allow to drop that one off or pay the same money.
I mean, you know, based off of what you're telling us and what the, you know, Walker Partners has provided, 274 and just didn't even option. I mean, there's not anything that we can do there. Yeah, I mean, we could do our in-house stuff, but there's nothing that we could do under this grant that we could even get reimbursed for. It's not going to meet any level of what the scope of work is to mitigate that project.
Well, the engineer did say that we just have to show an improvement, use this grant for an improvement. So we do a lot of stuff in-house. I don't know that. That's something Justin and I are supposed to have a team meeting with them and kind of discuss our options a little better on that. But
there's no way to offset the in kind of $7 million.
Well, he's saying that if we improve it like by 6 inches, you know, that's where it's 6 inches less, that's an improvement. So, I mean, but I don't know that they'd be able to explain that better.
Good.
Problem is I think the grant requires some sort of engineering stamp on the project. That's because they did say something about we may be able to roll off some pipes in there, concrete being good, and use the stamp from the pipes stating that it'll sort and hold this weight, but that's we'd have to be able to do majority of the work, I think, they didn't want to do that, but that won't be their stamp on that. That'd be just the same thing, but the way I understood it. But like I said, I may be messing that up, so let them explain it better on the 24th. But in reality, 274 is probably not going to happen.
And who do we expect in the 24th? They're going to be Walker and
Walker Barnard.
Okay. This office.
I believe so.
Okay.
Will Langer be?
Oh, yeah.
She may come, yeah.
I didn't know whether GLO might. I don't know if we want them.
No, I don't know if they don't.
They don't get.
They're not going to get involved in any of this. That's at the schedule for me.
Yeah. Trying to get them to come next week, but they're get us rolling to 11. But...
Yeah, we need to be prepared to make a decision on it on the 24th. But just the very obvious answer is you drop 274 completely. And it will cover those other costs increases across the board on the other three projects. Okay. Good update.
Glenn didn't lead you astray.
You not.
Anything else to cover under CDBG mail? Okay. FEMA DR4781. I didn't make the last one of those meetings, but we had submitted 11 of the PWs for reimbursement is what we signed off on the other day.
And yes, there's two more should be emailed to you. $217,000 for one, $164,000 for another.
Okay.
I'm doing this on my head, that should get us up to around 118 somewhere in there.
Yeah, because I think we're around 800. Or a little Yep, 800 was about the last figure that I remember off the top of my head. So,
and the final. So we're starting to compile estimates for the last 13 sites, the other projects. We're about 330,000 right now, but we're still going back and forth. And these are ones that we have not touched. That once they get the scope work defined, start working on them. We that start. They kind of gave us a project schedule of March to go start on the lower problems. 82. Pick out that. Trying to get a RFQ template drafted up, send out for the version zeros. Version zeros for the project that we need to help on, telling us how to fix it. 341 in Charlotte. So Langford is going to send us over a template of that. We're going to get that to the county attorney. West showing up for carrying engineering services on them. Okay, good.
Okay. Anything else on 4781?
Yeah.
Okay, last but not least is the Leon Cowhouse Flood Project. Mr. Manning, how are you this morning?
We're good. With Ellsby, I might want to go back to RCP just for a minute.
Okay.
Talk about this. So let me spend a couple of minutes in background for the report to make sure y'all are kind of up to speed. You know, RCP, the Resilient Community Program, this port contracted with us about 3 years ago to seek funds for land use regulations. To put that in context, as you'll recall, at that time we had a lot of upset citizens out there were complaining because development was occurring. Road Bridge is doing the best they can with the tools they've got, and y'all didn't have good regulations in place, and it's an expensive endeavor to go through an engineer and do all that. And so we were able to identify that grant program through a general land office. We sought after, applied for, negotiated with them, we were able to secure the grant. At that point, we stepped back and y'all hired an engineering firm out of Temple, who I think is very capable. And you had your rollout meeting on that in January of 2024. Not much else had happened since then. I got a call last week from Austin. They're very worried. That money's got a clock on it. It goes away in 9 months. Fort Hill County was the very first county to be awarded one of those grants. Unless the counties are finished, they're around in third, we're trying to get first. I'm recommending that this court not continue to push off having a meeting for RCP. Y'all got an engineering firm, because here's the problem. If you've already spent a good little bit of money with us, right? You hired an engineering firm, they've done some work. If that money goes back, you're still gonna have to pay them. And if y'all have trouble with the $300,000 grant, it's going to be hard for us to go after bigger grants for some of these infrastructure projects. And so I know y'all got a lot going on, but I'm urging you not to close this meeting out today without having set a time. Okay. If this is an action item, you can do that. You really need to set a time you can start. They're worried down in Austin that y'all are going to lose that money. And I don't think you can afford to lose $300,000 out. So, and not criticizing the judge, I'm just saying, you got us contracted to help keep an eye on things. I'm telling you, you got a problem here. Okay. So if the court has any questions for me, but I just want to make sure y'all are, you really need to set a date and get your engineers in here and do the things they need you to do so they can get this going. Anybody got any questions for me about that? Okay. All right. Thank you. You asked about the other ones. The flood grant is going really well. We'll probably have another major stakeholder meeting in Temple like we did last year with the over at Black Plant. We'll make sure y'all got plenty of notice. Anybody can attend that from the court, obviously. We'll have all the state and federal agencies and other county judges, everybody there. We've been meeting with TxDOT. We've got all of our little small gauges in the like Corio Creek and Table Rock everywhere, all up down the watershed. A&M's purchased 5 of those big like USGS type gauges. They really need to be located on TxDOT bridges. That's not anything to get done. So we've been having a series of discussions with TxDOT, and we're meeting with them next week with the district engineer and a bunch of their folks in Waco next week. We'll have A&M there, GLO's there, and we're trying to work out a protocol to get those things loaded at a time to, I mean, they can put them in a couple of weeks, but we would like to get done before get back into flood season again. We've got those others rigged up to the website so you can get live feeds off of them now. There's not anything to watch, but they're all working. And we'll continue to prize the court as we move forward. But I think it was great that you were there last time. And I think, you know, bringing the commissioners and the other officials to the court is probably good to sit in on that and know what's going on. That's all I've got.
Okay. Great.
Do y'all need any more locations on county roads? I think y'all have installed.
So we put 9 in, and that's in the entire, so that's Leon Cowles watershed all the way up to Headwater. And we're testing out 9 of those. They're starting to make a lot cheaper, easier devices. So we bought 3 sets of 3. Some of they're all radar. They set out over and pass the radar signal back. And then some of them have got cameras.
Yeah, Casey had shown me they're not real big.
No, they're a lot cheaper. They're like, I think we spent less than $5,000 per unit, and we bought 9 of them. These other things, these USDS, GS deals, are hundreds of thousands of dollars each. So that way we can be a little more risky about where we put them. So if we wash off 5,000, it's better than washing out, you know, 250,000.
Right.
And so we may want to go back to put some more of those gauges in. Okay. And so I might, if it's okay, I'd like to work with you on some possible locations.
Well, that's what I was kind of asking.
I mean, that was good if we were able to work with y'all. We couldn't get those on TxDOT. We just went through the Canada, little bridge for all of the different counties. But absolutely.
Yeah, just let me know. All
right. Thank you.
I'm going to need to try to figure out a date. Nate, please approve. Allison, please.
I think we put it for the afternoon of February 10th.
I'll be here.
Is there a committee? Do you guys appoint people to be on that? Or am I getting my wires crossed on any of that? Did you? Was a representative from the county that
I don't remember a committee being formed or under RCP. I mean, I'll go back and look. But.
Yeah, way back when we were doing some of the land use meetings, there was some group of individual citizens that were involved in that. But that was during the information gathering process where we had meetings in different parts of the county.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember. There's a meeting we need to attend.
I'm not here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying about 1:30 and 10.
Yeah, we'll schedule it for that because we've got a regular meeting.
Anybody else all right with that?
You bet.
February 10th, 1:30.
Okay, anything else to cover under item number nine? Item number 10 was to consider the lease purchase agreements for the vehicles for the Sheriff's Department. I don't think we got that paperwork out to you. Mr. Wood, did I go ahead and sign those? Are yes, those still? Yes. Okay. Those were consistent with the quotes that we had approved. I will get those scanned and sent in to you, sent out to you to be ratified at our next meeting. So that you've got all of that, but it did follow along with all of the quotes that had previously been approved by the court.
That cover the road bridge field too. That's just for the
sheriff. This is just the Sheriff's Department vehicles. Item number 11, I've got nothing for you to consider for today. And item number 12 was covered with our last meeting. There were no new bills presented for this meeting, which then brings us to reports. Commissioner Matthews?
Youth fair went great. That's about it.
Mr. Weddle?
Well, I think if I could just reference RCP, I just got confirmation back from MRB that 10th afternoon works for them.
Right.
So they're already notified.
Awesome.
Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Commissioner Basham?
Right for Ryan.
Liquid County.
Yeah, Liquid County. I'm good pro and stuff. I had a phone show on the ice. And...
I'm just kind of echo what Commissioner Matthew said. County Fair, I thought went perfectly well. Good to see everybody supporting kids. That's about all I got. Yeah.
Very good turning.
What?
Very good turning.
It was extremely crowded at the
Yeah. Were there any records set?
Yeah, I think that one senior. I think she was 10,000.
Thank you, bud.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then they could be going up in some of the majors. So.
Yes. I know those two from Jumper, they get grand or reserve grant and serve the class in Fort Worth.
So I'm always going to do it.
But Thomas Bell, he did good to get out of four. They're working hard.
Yep. Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, I don't want to go there.
Number one thing that I've got on my list is our firefighter agreements. I was invited to a fire chief's meeting, I think about January 23rd-ish. We spent about 3 hours going through that. Commissioner Matthews was there. And I believe we have streamlined and improved the wording. We've identified some outdated language, and we've made the audits a more simplified and valid audit requirement. I believe I've got the correct documentation for all of the fire departments. So I will have agreements on the February 10th. And provided that the court approves those agreements, those payments that are associated, the quarterly payments that are associated with that agreements will be part of pay bills as part of that cycle as well. So we won't hold any of that up.
Yep.
Well, they dedicated, like I said, about three and a half hours of their time to go through that. And it was really good input. I thought it was a good conversation both ways to again, drill down into, you know, really what does the county need from them from a reporting standpoint and, you know, what checks and balances are in the system.
But you said you've got all current.
I believe I've got everything. There's one outlier out there that we're still kind of working. But I think we can get to a point where
everything
will be good. I don't see any significant issues or problems at this point. They've all been very responsive. Just a good effort to kind of get some things cleaned up. And so I appreciate their time in that. Again, I want to echo my thanks to the Road and Ridge Department, as well as TxDOT, some other organizations out there during this ice event of 26. There was a lot of pre-treating that was done throughout the county. Unfortunately, that was done Thursday and Friday morning. And we got some significant just rain on Friday, which basically we just washed all the pre-treating away. I mean, you can't forecast that to happen the way it did. And especially when you looked at where we were right on the cusp and the edge of this entire front that came through. We weren't in the snow band. We weren't in the sleet band. We had truly rain with freezing rain, with sleet, that just created a really not good situation for roads and travel. And I appreciate, all of our citizens, hunkering down for those few days as they did. Obviously some fender benders going on out there. Thanks goes to our first responders for responding to that, pulling some people out of ditches and a few medicals out there. But I had no reports of any loss of life or property during that event. So we're one up on that. And those are the two things that I wanted to highlight. We do have a closed meeting scheduled. We do not have the county attorney with us, so we will not consider anything under item number 15. However, item number 16 is pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.072. The Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to deliberate the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property. And do note that there is the potential for an action under item number 17 to consider actions necessary to facilitate the sale of county-owned real property that may be taken up following the closed meeting. So with that, I've got 10:04. We will...
Did I miss item 11? Has that previously been discussed or it was skipped today?
That is a document, that is a policy that I'm going to propose based off of some actions that happened in a previous special election over in the Coppers Cove area. So with that, I've got 10:04. We will reconvene in the front conference room at 10:15. And we are in recess. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Steve,
you heard Donnie Brown?
Okay, I've got 11:19. We'll reconvene in open session, noting that all members of the court are present. Continue on with item number 17. There's no action or nothing to be considered under item number 17. With that, that concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you all. Mm-hmm.